Each and every one of you, again, I know you've come for the great preaching. Probably not. You've come for the ice cream. That's all right. Amen. We've come for the bluebell, man. We just be honest with you tonight. That's all right. That's all. Been a while since we had some bluebell. That's right. I remember walked into the store, I guess it was last week, early in the morning. And the bluebell guys were there. They were putting in fresh stock. And it was kind of like, you know, you just kind of paused, right? Kind of paused. Time kind of stood still. And the guy looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "How many can I have?" He said, "Well, sir, you can only have two." I said, "Okay." So I gave him my flavor, the Great Divide, right? Took my two Great Divide and went on my way. But it was some kind of good. Amen? It really was. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've kind of picked up on it, we're in Nehemiah on Sunday morning. Be preaching through that book, the balance of it, what's left. And as we try to finish up, we're going to be getting into some doctrinal stuff here in 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 14. So kind of trying to set us up to be good stewards of our time and good stewards of the truth of God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God tonight. And we'll look at this. We're just going to look at one little phrase here at the beginning of verse 7, but we're kind of going to introduce verse 7 so that we can get through it next time we come together and talk about this. The Word of God reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, verse 6. If you found that, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads, "Rejoiceth not in iniquity," verse 6, "but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things." And what is it talking about? It's talking about love. In the King James Version, it says charity, but it's talking about love here. "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." And I read chapter 8 just to kind of prove the point of what I'm going to say about verse 7. "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together this holiday weekend. We pray a special prayer for safety tonight as we fellowship, Lord, and then as we depart our homes or depart this place for our homes. Father God, we just pray you guard us and protect us. Lord, be with those that are doing extracurricular things, Lord. Perhaps at parties or at establishments where alcohol is served. Father God, I pray that they would call a cab. I pray that somebody would take their keys. Lord, we pray that the drunks, those that choose to imbibe, Lord, that they would not be allowed to get on the road tonight or early this tomorrow morning, Father God. I pray you protect the people of Harris, Montgomery County, this whole area, this whole state. Lord, you just protect the people with everything that's gone on. Lord, we pray that you just give people an extra helping of common sense and wisdom. And Lord, if people are going to choose to do that, I pray that others would choose to take their keys or call a cab for them, get them home safe, and save everybody else on the road. Lord, we pray you open our hearts and minds to your word tonight. Father God, we pray that you just wash us with your word, cleanse us with it, challenge us, convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord, and just set us straight so that we can be the church you've called us to be, so that we can be the Christian we need to be. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're going on now with verse 7, and the first little phrase here is "beareth all things." And in the Greek, it's simply two words. It's simply pantastegai. Pantastegai in the Greek, and that's "beareth all things." We're going to talk about really what that means specifically, but the four qualities mentioned in verse 7, those four things that you see there, let's see here, "beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Those four qualities mentioned, talking about love, talking about the great agape love, God's love, those four qualities mentioned there in verse 7 are what is called hyperbole. Well, what in the world's hyperbole? Hyperbole is exaggeration to make a point, all right? He's using a method of literature here called hyperbole. He's exaggerating to make his point. Because Paul, why do I say that? Because Paul has made it clear that love rejects jealousy. Love rejects bragging. It rejects arrogance. It rejects unseemliness and iniquity and sinfulness. It rejects selfishness. Love rejects anger and resentment. It rejects unrighteousness. Love does not bear, believe, hope, or endure lies, false teaching, or anything else that is not of God. So, Pastor, how are we to take all things here? How are we to take this Greek word panta? How are we to take all things here in the context? Well, Paul is speaking of all things acceptable in God's righteousness and will. Right? He's speaking about everything within the Lord's divine tolerance. These four qualities that we see here in verse 7 are closely related, and they are given in ascending order. We begin with the first one. Love supports and protects. Say that with me. Love supports and protects. Verse 7, beareth all things. Stegai, panta, or panta, stegai, right? In the Greek, beareth, stegai, means to cover or to support and therefore protect. It means to cover. Now, I don't know if anybody's brought any fixings. When I'm grilling up steak, I tell the kids, I go, this does not need anything. You can just flat put it on your plate and eat it. You don't need to put the sauce on it. Don't put the Worcestershire. You don't need any steak sauce. Daddy's grilled a good steak, right? Don't cover the steak. It's medium. It may be a little medium rare. You just chew it. You'll like it. Amen? You don't need to put anything on it. But when we come to ice cream, Bluebell the same way, man. You don't need to indoctrinate and put anything on the Bluebell. You know what I'm saying? But there may be some fixings on there. And you may get some homemade vanilla bean, or you may get some just some homemade vanilla, and you'll want to put some what? Some caramel syrup or some chocolate. You want to cover it, right? Yeah. You want to cover it. That's what love is. It's a cover. Amen? Do you feel it? It's a cover. See, love bears, B-E-A-R-S. It bears all things by protecting others from exposure, ridicule, or harm. Back to this topic. I mean, Paul is really beating the drum here. Corinthians really struggled with this. See, genuine love does not gossip. I'm not saying we have a gossip problem here. I'm just preaching through the book. Amen. Genuine love does not gossip. Genuine love does not listen to gossip. Even when sin is certain, even when, man, I mean, we've got the DVDs, we've got the affidavits, we've got all the records, we know that there's been a sin. Even when sin is certain, love tries to do what? It tries to correct the wrong with the least possible hurt, with the least possible harm to the guilty person. You say, wow, really, Pastor? Well, when you catch your hand in the cookie jar, somebody catches your hand in the cookie jar, that's what you want, isn't it? Yeah. That's what love does. See, love never protects sin. Love points the sin out, but love is anxious to protect the sinner. Right? Fallen human nature has the opposite inclination. Fallen human nature, the lost man. Fallen human nature has the opposite inclination of what Stegai, Panta Stegai, is talking about here. Fallen human nature. See, there's a perverse pleasure in exposing someone else's faults and failures. And we've already said this in previous weeks, and we mention it here again tonight, that there's a perverse pleasure. It's what makes gossip appealing. That's why people do it. The Corinthians cared little for the feelings or welfare of fellow believers. It was every person for himself in this dysfunction junction Corinthian church. Every person for himself. And like the Pharisees, the Corinthians paid little attention to others. They were focused on themselves. The only time when they got their eyes on others is when they found out somebody else was sinning or failing. And then that's when they got their eyes on somebody. That's when they did it. See, man's depravity causes him to rejoice in the depravity in others. It is that depraved pleasure that still sells the tabloids today. When I go and check out at K. Roger up the road here, and I'm going through the line, the tabloids, they're still printing those things in this day and age with everything on the internet and the smartphone and all this stuff. They still print the tabloids. Why? Because of this right here. This perverse nature in us that we need to repent of. We need to be cleansed of. It's that depraved pleasure that sells the tabloids and keeps the Jerry Springers on the air. Right? Boy, I've channel surfed before and come across that kind of genre of TV. That just makes you want to vomit. I mean, it just makes you sick. And I have known Christians, I have pastored people that made it a part of putting that in their lives, watching that junk. Boy, if you're on that, get off of it. Amen? Find something else to pump into your head besides that. It is the same sort of pleasure, this fallen human nature, this opposite inclination of this pantastegai tonight in the Greek. It is the same sort of pleasure that makes children tattle on brothers and sisters. The same kind of pleasure. I tell you, I got more of that going on. I'm telling you, I'm living this, right? I'm living what I'm preaching tonight. Boy, one of my kids thinks they got something on another one. Boy, I mean, I'm telling you, man, they're going to spill the beans. They're going to spill the beans, boy. They can get a little stir going, man. I mean, why? Because it's that perverse, fallen nature. Amen. You say, well, your kids are saved. They are, but sometimes they backslide when it comes to getting each other in trouble, right? Has that ever happened in your home? Mine's the only one? Oh, it's happened in yours. Okay. Yeah. Right. Right. Whether to feel self-righteous by exposing another's sin or to enjoy that sin vicariously, we all are tempted to take a certain kind of pleasure in the sins of others. And what Paul is saying, what he's trying to say when he says pantastegai, what he's trying to say here, what he's trying to say is love has no part in that. Love has no, it does not expose, love does not exploit, love does not gloat or condemn. Amen? Love bears, B-E-A-R-S, it does not bear, B-A-R-E. Right? It doesn't. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes. Strifes is plural there in Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Ain't that great? That's a good thing tonight, church. We can measure our love for a person. Love supports and protects. That's what we're talking about. Beareth all things. Verse 7, stegai for beareth means literally to cover and protect. We can measure our love for a person by how quick we are to cover his faults. How quick we are to cover his faults. Doesn't mean that the person isn't going to have to pay consequences. Doesn't mean the person perhaps isn't going to have to, he's still going to have to pay, or she's still going to have to pay society. But boy, we attempt to mitigate and cover their faults. Why? Because we love them, right? Hate the sin, love the who? The sinner, that's right. Right? We can measure our love for a person by how quick we are to cover his faults. When one of our children, try this one on, see if it doesn't fit. When one of our children we love, whether they be a young child, whether they be a young adult, or even an older adult, When one of our children we love does something wrong, what are we inclined to do? We are inclined to put the best face on it as possible. And we'll say things like this. Well, he did not mean that. You know, bottom line, he probably did mean it, but our love for them makes us want to try to put a better face on it. Well, he didn't mean that. Or he didn't understand what was going on. Well, he probably really did understand, but we love them and we want to do what? We want to put the best face on it possible. Right? Mamas, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, boy, them mamas know. Right? With a person we do not like, with a person we do not love, with a person we don't care much for, our reaction is usually the opposite. And we'll say things like this. Well, you know, that's typical of so-and-so. That's typical. Or what do you expect from someone like that? Oh, my. That's not beareth all things. That's pulling out the knives, man. That's going in for the kill. That's not beareth all things. See, let's keep the balance here. Love does not justify sin or compromise with falsehood. Oh, love holds accountable. Love warns. Say accountable tonight. Amen? Yeah. Love warns. It warns folks. Love corrects. Love exhorts. It tries to build peace. It rebukes. And love disciplines. Right? But love does not expose or broadcast failures and wrongs. Henry Ward Beecher, great theologian of yesteryear and preacher, said, God pardons like a mother who kisses the offense into everlasting forgetfulness. Isn't that the way He does it? God pardons like a mother who kisses the offense into everlasting forgetfulness. The mercy seat, back in the temple and then before the temple in the tabernacle, the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, inside of the Holy of Holies, which outside the Holy of Holies was the holy place, and then outside of that was the different courts, okay? Inside the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of that thing, that is where the blood of at-one-ment, the blood of atonement was sprinkled 7 times once a year. 7 times. It was a covering, the sprinkling of the blood coming off the high priest's fingers onto the covering, onto the mercy seat, onto the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. It was a covering for the sin of the people. Amen? Amen? Not for the Ark itself, but for the sins of the people. The mercy seat was a place of covering. The covering prefigured the perfect and final covering of sin. They had to do it every year. Jesus only died on the cross once. Amen. Right? The perfect, the final covering of sin accomplished by Jesus on the cross in His great propitiatory sacrifice. In the cross, God threw the great mantle, the great cloak of His love over sin, forever covering it for all of humanity. Amen? Amen? And by nature, love is redemptive. God's agape love, it's redemptive. Love wants to buy back. Love wants to not condemn. Love wants to save. Love wants to not judge. That's what love wants. Well, love feels the pain of those it loves and helps carry the burden of the hurt. And if you're a parent, if you've had a child go off into heinous deep sin, you know what I'm talking about. Love feels the pain of those it loves and it helps carry the burden of the hurt. It can't help it. It's going to carry it. If you're a family member and you've got another family member, I'm not talking about a parent-child, I'm just talking about family. And you've got a family member that's off in some kind of heinous sin. Boy, I mean, it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. It hurts. Why does it hurt? Because it's love. And that hurt, you are shouldering some of the burden of that thing, man. You're shouldering some of it. True love is even willing to take the consequences of the sin of those it loves. Yeah. Isaiah prophesying of Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, very familiar verse, but we need to read it tonight to make the point. The Word of God reads, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." As Peter knew firsthand from Jesus' great patience and kindness, 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves." Above all things, the Apostle Peter writes, the great preacher Peter, "Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Let me tell you, if New Hope Baptist Church rocks the socks, I mean, if New Hope Baptist Church really gets after it for the gospel of Jesus Christ, if the kingdom really grows here and takes off, and God has His will in His way, and there's a submissive people here, it will be because of a loving people. It will be because of a loving people. Because I'm telling you, Love covers a bunch of messed up stuff, doesn't it? It really, really does. I want to close tonight with a story from history. You know I like the history books. I want to share with you about Oliver Cromwell. He reigned as Lord Protector of England back in the 17th century. And as he was doing that, there was a young soldier. They were under kind of martial law, what they would call back then. There was a soldier that was sentenced to die. He was going to the gallows. They're going to hang him. The girl to whom he was engaged pleaded with Cromwell to spare the life of her beloved. But the law is the law. This young man had perpetrated a crime, and his sentence under martial law was to be death. The young man was to be executed when the curfew bell sounded. So like the bell would sound at the very end of the day, that means everybody's got to be off the streets, everybody's got to be inside. And every day when that bell sounded, those that were to be executed were executed. It was just a part of the routine. It was just a part of what happened. The young man was to be executed when the curfew bell sounded, but when the sexton, the person that pulled the bell rope, when he began to pull, he repeatedly pulled and he pulled, he could not make the bell sound. They thought something was wrong. They kept looking up in the belfry and the bell swinging back and forth. Well, why isn't the clapper hitting the bell and tolling the sound for all to hear? I mean, they're ready to execute these people. They're ready to go. But they know they don't execute until they hear the bell of the curfew. The girl who was engaged to this soldier had snuck past the guards. She had climbed into the belfry, and she had wrapped herself around the clapper so that it could not strike the bell. Her body was smashed. Her body was bruised. You can imagine these huge bells that they used. But she did not let go until the clapper stopped swinging from side to side. She managed to climb down, bruised and bleeding, to meet those awaiting the execution. When she explained what she had done, Cromwell commuted the soldier's sentence. A poet beautifully recorded the story as follows. At his feet, she told her story, showed her hands all bruised and torn, and her sweet young face still haggard with anguish it had worn. Touched his heart with sudden pity, lit his eyes with misty light. Go, your love lives, said Cromwell. Curfew will not ring tonight. And so the boy was spared, right? That is love. That's agape love. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have. Panta in the Greek means all things. Stegai means to cover. Means to protect. It means to bear. Amen, church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can be in your word and we can glean some truth from it tonight, Lord. Mold us and make us. Shape each and every one of us when it comes to exercising and having this agape love, Lord, that you have poured into us via the Holy Spirit. We were saved when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we're going through life and we want to be discipled. We want to be brought up. We want to get off the milk of the Word and get in the meat of the Word. And Lord, learn the doctrine and the truth and all of those things, not so that we can hold it over anybody's head and say, man, I know this and you don't. But Lord, we want to know it so we can live it. Lord, help us be a loving church. Lord, thank you for a loving church. And help us continue to be that loving church. And be those loving brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, we still hold accountable. We still rebuke when rebuke needs to be given. We still discipline when we need to give discipline. But we do it in love. We don't do it to be mean. We don't do it to hurt. We do it to help. Lord, we love you tonight for keeping us on the straight and narrow. Lord, for counting us worthy, for using us in spite of ourselves. We love you tonight for all that you do for us. Thank you again for our salvation. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's think about our prayer list tonight as we make preparation here. What's going on? What's out there? prayer list? Yes, ma'am.